Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
This season, D. Richard Ferguson reads his Amazon best-selling novel, Escape from Paradise, a layered parable of the Christian life. Stick around at the end to hear the author unfold the biblical basis for today's chapter and how it applies to daily life.
Chapter 16. Abigail stood.
This isn't worth it. Let's just take the ridgeline.
The group angled across the hillside and descended to the easier path. Once on the smooth, well-kept trail, Adam limped alongside Abigail, while Watson and Kalin trailed behind.
Will she be okay? Adam asked, looking over his shoulder.
Abigail glanced back as well.
She's strong.
She turned to Adam. Her brow arched, and her cheekbones lifted, tugging at her slightly parted lips. Hope shone from her eyes like sunlight streaming through windows. Her expression was magical. His anxieties melted.
So your weapon, it keeps you from having bad desires? Does that mean you never want fruit?
It's like any weapon, Abigail replied.
It only works when I use it. If I lay it down, I'm as vulnerable as anyone else.
What's the treasure? Abigail looked at him.
The treasure?
He pulled the cottage piece from his pocket and ran his thumb across the words.
In his joy. Your joy over the treasure drove you to give up everything to get it. If the treasure isn't gold, what else is there?
Her eyes brightened.
Great question. She lifted her hand to her cheek. I noticed when you mentioned my smile back in the lowlands, you looked at my scar. Let me tell you the story of how I got both the smile and the scar. It happened in the Room of Delights in the cottage. It has a series of stone barriers down the center. The left side is the path of empty pleasure. The right, the way of painful happiness.
Wait, what?
Adam wrinkled his forehead. Empty pleasure, I get, but painful happiness?
Just listen, she said. When you enter the room, you have to choose a side because the floor moves and carries you forward.
So you're forced to choose between empty pleasure and painful happiness? Which side did you pick?
Neither side sounded good to me, but I thought pleasure would be better than pain, so I went left.
And was it
Adam? Just listen,
she repeated, touching his shoulder.
The left side was amazing. Right away, I thought I understood why it's called the Room of Delights. I've enjoyed a lot of pleasures in my life. This felt better than all of them. But once I passed the first barrier, the pleasure left me so suddenly that I collapsed on the floor. My energy was gone. Worse than that, hope was gone. The future seemed black as night. All I felt was suffocating despair.
Her chin quivered and she dropped her head. Then she drew a deep breath to continue.
The floor carried me to the second barrier. I didn't think I could handle any pain, so I chose the left side again. And again, sheer ecstasy.
Same result at the end?
Worse. This time when the pleasure faded, not only did I have no hope, but I lost my ability to enjoy happy memories. All I could remember were injustices, abuses, and decisions I regret. I was drowning in darkness. I wanted to cry, but I didn't even have the strength for that.
So did the floor stop then?
It never stopped. That's the thing about that room. The floor just never...
Her words were choked off.
I was still down when I came to the third barrier. I couldn't even get to my hands and knees. I decided to try the painful happiness side. So I rolled myself to the right. I wanted happiness, and I thought maybe the pain would be mild. It wasn't. Blades cut into my flesh, blows from rods. I could feel bones breaking. But Adam, I felt like I was okay. Even through the blinding pain, Hope returned. I could enjoy good memories. I was happy.
Adam shook his head.
What do you mean? How could you be happy in that much pain? It took several more times on both sides before I realized what was happening. Each time, no matter which side I chose, the ruler stayed on the right side. When I went left, despair came because I wasn't near him, so the pleasure didn't matter. And when I went right, I was close to him, so the pain didn't matter.
That's the treasure that's worth so much more than all my possessions.
So you were in agonizing pain, but you were happy? You're telling me the pain was somehow enjoyable? She shook her head with a vigor that made her bangs fly.
No, it was miserable. But being near the ruler affected me more than the pain did. The purpose of that room was to teach me that refuge is better than relief.
Abigail stopped walking and closed her eyes.
I didn't notice at first, but if you look closely, you can see something rising from the ruler's skin, a kind of blue mist. And if you inhale even a whiff, it fills you with hope, strength, courage, gratitude, insight, and happiness. So much happiness that the pain, it just doesn't matter.
Adam remembered the blue residue from the first time he felt the wind, and again at the rock slide. He glanced down at his foot. The substance, or mist, or whatever it was, had worn off.
So you stayed right from then on?
Mostly, but there was one other time when I went left. I felt like I needed a break from all the pain, and I had the feeling that my strength and happiness would stay with me even if I went to the left just one more time.
Did it?
Not even a little. The pleasure this time wasn't as intense, and the depression was worse. Even with the pleasure, I was miserable. Any effort to think happy thoughts only drove me deeper into suffocating darkness. I wanted to die.
Tears formed in Adam's eyes. He wasn't sure if it was compassion for Abigail or the awareness of how foreign that right side sounded to him. And how familiar the left. Not to the extremes Abigail described, but he now realized that most of his life had been lived in a dull, gray version of that left side. Pleasures on the outside, but a low-grade fog of joyless emptiness within.
So you chose the right side next?
I couldn't. I was so depressed I couldn't move. I just curled up on the floor. But then the ruler picked me up and carried me over to the right side. He held me until we reached the end of the room. By then, the blue mist covered my arms and legs. My clothes were damp with it, and I was strong again.
Abigail resumed walking. Adam stood for a moment, then caught up.
What is it, the blue stuff? You'll see when the time is right, she said with a smile full of mystery. I don't want to tell you now because I don't know if you're ready. On the day you see what it is, you must decide. And it will be a hard decision, a painful one. That day will be the best day or the worst day of your life. You'll understand when you go through the cottage.
Will I have to go through that room? Abigail looked away, drew a breath, then turned back to Adam and smiled.
Not if you can learn the lesson ahead of time by listening to my story.
What lesson? That I'll have to suffer pain all my life?
I'll tell you what the ruler told me when we got to the end. He said,
"It won't be like this every day. Sometimes you can have happy pleasure and painless happiness. But as long as I allow the lowlands to exist, life will often be a series of choices between empty pleasure and painful happiness. The pleasure always looks better at first, but it's never worth the emptiness it causes."
The path took a turn to the west, leading up the ridge. Before taking the turn, they waited, watching the path behind until Watson and Kalin came around a corner back into view.
"Have Watson and Kalin gone through that room?"
"The Room of Delights? Yes, they have,"
They walked in silence. Then Abigail stopped and took Adam's arm.
Listen, don't worry about the Room of Delights. For now, just think about the banquet hall. All you have to do there is sit, eat, and enjoy. Trust me, you'll love it.
She pointed.
Look, do you see that clearing? When we get to that, we'll be able to see the cottage.
Images of the colors he'd seen from the pond flashed across his memory. His pulse raced. Would his childhood mirage prove real? Would he see the colors again? He picked up his pace.
Memories of the colors infused him with energy. He walked faster.
Soon he could restrain himself no longer. Abigail, I hope you don't mind. I just want to...
He broke into a run. Thankful to be on a smooth, maintained trail, he flew up the path, forgetting his pain.
He pushed faster, rounded a corner, and stopped cold. A fallen tree blocked the path. It looked to be a live, healthy tree, the leaves still green. What kind of force could have pulled this tree down and left the surrounding trees untouched? He studied the area, recalling Watson's warning about the powers. He shuddered.
The group was still well behind. Why did it feel like someone was with him?
Climbing through the tangle of branches would mean 100 stabs into his wounds.
No way.
He decided the best way around the tree would be on the downhill side of the path. He took a tentative step, testing a stone for stability. Invisible to Adam, Morax laid a grotesque hand on Adam's mind.
No, not that way. The uphill side is the better route.
As Adam transferred his weight, the evil spirit kicked the stone. It slid, but Adam's hand caught a limb and he kept his feet.
Maybe the uphill side would be a better route.
Adam turned, crossed the path, and started up the steep bank on the right side of the path. With the help of some sturdy branches, he pulled himself up the steepest part, sending pebbles tumbling to the path. The roots of the down timber had been torn out of the ground as if by a hurricane, and now jutted upward far above Adam's head. As he worked his way around the roots, something caught Adam's eye. A bulging burlap sack lay tucked inside a bush a few yards from Adam. He stepped closer. He thought he smelled...
Adam, help me!
Abigail was trying to climb up around the tree, but kept sliding backward. He maneuvered back around the roots to where he could reach her, anchored himself on the tree with one hand, and extended the other to Abigail.
He pulled her up, then Kaelin and Watson.
He decided not to mention the bag. They slid down the other side back to the path and continued on. Adam wondered again about the tree. Something wasn't right. What made it fall? And why had he felt so compelled to take the uphill side? And what made him look right at the bag in a spot none of the others noticed? When they crested the ridge, the cottage came into view.
Adam saw no colors, but what he did see took his breath away.
What did he see? Well, we'll pick it up right there tomorrow. And if you want to know more about what this cottage represents, and especially what that Room of Delights is all about, that's explained at the end of the novel in the Chapter 16 section. Chapter 16 of the Bible Study Guide has 10 questions. I'll read you number 7. When a person chooses whether or not to follow Christ, one might expect the person to come away happy no matter what they decide, because they're free to choose what they most desire, right? They can pick whatever they want the most. They pick it. They got what they want the most. So you'd think they'd walk away happy. And yet, some come away rejoicing and others grieving. Why is this? See Mark 10:17, 21-22, and Luke 19:5-9. So the Mark 10 passage is about the rich young ruler. He comes up to Jesus. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And then down in verse 21, it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. So there's a guy who picks what he loves the most, he chooses what he wants the most, and yet he goes away sad. He got what he wanted, yet he went away sad. In the Luke 19 passage, in verse 5, it says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is the son of Abraham. So in both cases, the guy picked what he wanted the most, but one of them came away happy and the other one came away sad. Why? Because those who reject Christ, even though they're following their greatest desire, it's a Judas desire. It betrays them. It walls them off from the path of blessing. The rich ruler was sad because he knew the benefits of following Jesus, and he very much wanted those benefits. He wanted eternal life, but he was unable to take hold of what he wanted because his love for money made it impossible. Love of this world is a horrible taskmaster. It won't free us. Even when we're desperate for something better, we can't choose it. Give some thought to your life. Are there some areas where you're imprisoned by a bad love, by a Judas desire that won't let you grab hold of something better? Holy Father, you alone are worthy to be the object of my desire. Nothing else can satisfy. The delights of this world are just prisons in disguise. And if my heart attaches to them, it'll be impossible to choose what would really make me happy. Lord, show me my Judas desires. Expose them. They're such liars. They tell me they'll make me happy, but I always end up full of regret. Open my eyes to see which good gifts you've made available to me that are within my reach, but I haven't taken them because of some Judas desire that won't let me reach out and take it. Some ugly thing that I'm grasping, so I can't take hold of what you're offering because I can't let go of the worthless thing. By the power of your Spirit, Lord, pry open my stubborn fingers and enable me to let go. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. Even though my twisted heart gets deceived into thinking it does, your love is better than life. I will extol you, Lord, at all times. Your praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in you. I sing to you a new song. I praise your name and proclaim your salvation day after day. I will declare your glory among the nations, your marvelous deeds among all peoples. For you are great and most worthy of praise. You are to be feared above all gods. The gods of the nations are idols, but you made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before you. Strength and glory are in your sanctuary. So I ascribe to you the glory due your name. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before you, Lord, for you come to judge the earth. You will judge the world in righteousness and all the peoples in your truth.
Thanks for listening. To get your copy of the study guide, just go to drichardferguson.com. This podcast and hundreds of other resources are free to everyone because of the generosity of those of you who support this ministry. If you would like to help with the tax-deductible gift, our Venmo is @foodforyoursoul. Be careful, it's not food for the soul, it's food for your soul.
Until next time, may the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace.